The visual arts are filled with figures and episodes from the Hebrew Bible. Why were artists and patrons, Jewish and Christian, so interested in the Hebrew Bible? What encouraged them to use it as a wellspring of artistic themes and visual imagery? Could the artistic legacy of the Hebrew Bible help us understand aspects of the Hebrew Bible more richly, more deeply? These episodes revolve around profound moments of fulfillment through transformation. Artists recognized the Hebrew Bible as a means through which they could expand the vocabulary and expression of their medium. They reveal fundamental truths about the covenants between God and man, about the challenges we face as divinely created beings in a fraught human world, and about the struggles and evil we face to ensure our liberty and survival. Such was and is the power of art. Welcome back to the Artistic Legacy of the Hebrew Bible. I'm Jacob Weiss. In our discussion of art's encounter with the Binding of Isaac, we saw how artists were inspired by the story's dramatic power and tension to convey the psychology of its characters. Though the biblical text is mute on the thoughts and emotions God's command to sacrifice his beloved prompt in Abraham, artists, echoing the interpretations of generations of commentators, use the story to explore how inner struggle, tension, and turmoil can be conceptualized visually. Renaissance and Baroque artists in particular found in Abraham an emotional wellspring, exploring the ways his imagined determination, faith, rage, confusion, steadfastness, love, anguish, horror, and ultimate sense of relief are revealed in painted and sculpted form. If the Akedah prompted artistic exploration of the interior landscape of its characters, the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel inspired artists to explore the nature of Jacob's mysterious encounter. An encounter that some characterize as between a human being and an angel, that others describe as between the physical and non-physical worlds, or between Jacob's external being and internal nature. For artists, this tension between the material and the immaterial, between the physical and the ethereal, resonated with what they inherently do, portray in visually perceptible form ideas that prompt intellectual, emotional, spiritual, or conceptual understanding. The episode inspired them to explore not only the identity of the biblical characters and the larger meaning of the story, but to assess and question the nature of artistic representation in general. What was the nature of Jacob's nighttime encounter? It has not escaped the notice of Hebrew biblical commentators that leading up to Jacob's confrontation, an all-night wrestling match with an unnamed man in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis, Jacob had distinguished himself, at least primarily, by being the most confrontation-averse of the patriarchs. Jacob is a champion of conflict avoidance. He stays away from face-to-face confrontation at any cost, first with his mother Rebecca, whose suggestion to deceive his father Isaac by stealing his brother's birthright, Jacob briefly questions, but goes along with. Then with Esau, from whom he flees after receiving Isaac's blessing, and subsequently with his father-in-law Laban, from whom he again flees with his wives, Laban's daughters, Leah and Rachel, and Laban's livestock. Indeed, a man who would submit to staying married for a period of 7 years to a woman, Leah, who had been deceptively switched in Rachel's place as Jacob's bride, is someone who would rather submit to circumstances or outside decrees than make waves to pursue what he wants or believes is rightfully his or at least promised to him. So, what are we to make of the dramatic shift in the narrative when, after leaving with his family and crossing the river on his way home to Canaan, Jacob encounters at night a figure. The Hebrew text refers to as Ish, a man, though it is often referred to as an angel or divine agent with whom Jacob wrestles until dawn. The struggle lasts the entire night until the figure, recognizing that Jacob is unrelenting and cannot be defeated, injures Jacob's hip, wrenching it at its socket. Jacob demands a blessing from the man, whereupon Jacob's name is changed to Israel, a name that echoes Jacob's successful struggle with God and man. Thus, through or because of his confrontation, Jacob/Israel is transformed. He emerges, it seems, having conquered his greatest weakness and most abiding characteristic, his unwillingness to face conflict or confront discord. One of the fundamental points of disagreement in Jewish interpretive tradition around the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel is how to characterize Jacob's encounter. Reflecting one pole of the edge of a wide array of interpretations, Maimonides gives expression to the notion that Jacob's experience should be read and understood as an internal vision. That is, that it is all part of a prophetic dream. It makes no difference whether this is expressly stated or not, he writes in The Guide to the Perplexed, or that a figure is only shown to be an angel at the end of a narrative episode, as is generally taken to be the case in this story when Jacob names the place where he's done battle Peniel, meaning I have seen God face to face and I came out alive. Still, you may rest satisfied, Maimonides asserts, that the whole account from the beginning describes a prophetic vision. Thus, the Rambam understands the encounter between Jacob and the angel as taking place in an immaterial realm, projecting, as it were, Jacob's vision or consciousness. The countering point of view is put forward most pointedly by Nachmanides, the Ramban, who, as one scholar has put it, believed that while angels are indeed incorporeal or immaterial, they have the unique ability to take on special corporeal garments and become physical beings. And in their corporeal form, angels can indeed appear, in Tanakh they do, and interact with human beings in the real concrete world. For Jacob, the prophets, and their pious disciples, according to this line of interpretation, there was a special kind of aura or glory in the angels called a garment by the mystics that made them perceptible to their human vision and that allowed them to interact on a physical level in the human realm. Indeed, Ramban uses the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel to contravene Rambam's notion that it should be characterized as visionary. If Jacob's encounter was purely visionary, Ramban asks, how could he have suffered actual physical injury? Why was he limping when he awoke? And why would Jacob have characterized his encounter as life-threatening if it had been purely immaterial? Ramban's critique of Maimonides asserts that if the biblical text clearly projects physical threat and physical consequences from actions that are described, then we should recognize the story and actions as transpiring in the physical world. These interpretive poles, reading Jacob's wrestling match with the angel as taking place in a visionary ethereal realm on the one hand, and as taking place in the physical earthly realm on the other, animate one of the key tensions that is built into this story. For visual artists, this tension encouraged them to explore the character of the medium in which they work. For Renaissance and Baroque artists, it invited them to reconsider the language and vocabulary of their art to generate new approaches to depicting subject matter. In the case of modern artists, the subject prompted a fundamental reconsideration of how their medium depicts the visual realm. And by the end of the 19th century, when biblical episodes and traditional religious subject matter in general were rarely treated by avant-garde artists, the subject of Jacob wrestling with the angel came to be associated with the very artistic process itself. Well before the Renaissance, Baroque, and early modern periods, the subject of Jacob wrestling with the angel was taken up by artists in a variety of media and religious settings. In early Christian and Byzantine art, the episode is often included within the context of a series of images depicting the broader story of Jacob, who was a key figure for early church fathers. A striking example of this is this rare ivory box called the Brescia casket, which may have originally served as a reliquary. It was produced in a northern Italian workshop, possibly Milan, at the end of the 4th century, not long after Christianity was legalized and made the official state religion of Rome. Among the 36 scenes that are carved onto its top and four sides, all of them drawn from the Hebrew Bible and New Testament, are three scenes from the story of Jacob. Here, in the lower register from left to right, Rachel and Jacob at the well, Jacob wrestling with the angel, and Jacob's ladder. In the main register above these three scenes of Jacob are represented two miraculous episodes from the Gospel of John, from the New Testament: the healing of the man born blind, in which Jesus touches the eyes of the blind man, and the raising of Lazarus, in which Jesus revives Lazarus from the dead 4 days after his entombment. Within the framework of Christian theology, in which the Hebrew Bible and the Gospels were seen as two parts of a unified religious vision, the figure of Jacob was significant, especially in terms of how Christians understood their religion as entering the world, replacing earlier religious traditions, and being adopted by its followers. Special symbolism is given to Jacob's dream, which represents for Christians, especially those within the Eastern Orthodox Church, the incarnation of Jesus, while Jacob's ladder is associated with Jesus' mother, the Virgin Mary. Just as the ladder or stairway recounted in Genesis chapter 28 is described as set on the ground but reaching to the sky, with angels of God going up and down on it, so Mary is understood, by virtue of carrying Jesus in her womb, as being a link between or uniter of heaven and earth. The episode of Jacob wrestling with the angel in particular was highlighted by St. Augustine, who read it as an allegory of the Jews supplanted by the Christians, Judaism by Christianity. The angel in the story, according to Augustine, is the Lord Jesus, while Jacob represents the people of the Jews. In being blessed by the angel, Jacob, that is, the Jews, takes up a new identity and is supplanted by Israel, who represents for Augustine the Christians, who are the true seers of God. In being blessed by the angel, Jacob, that is, the Jews, takes up a new identity and is supplanted by Israel, who represents for Augustine the Christians, who are the true seers of God. For early Christian theologians, and by extension, patrons of early Christian art, the image of Jacob wrestling with the angel expressed the idea that Judaism, a religious tradition predating Christianity, was a misguided or false path towards redemption. That Jews, represented by the figure previously known as Jacob, had misunderstood or misread what God had told them in the Hebrew Bible, and that this is what led them not to recognize, to reject Jesus as the Messiah. Since they had rejected the Messiah, God rejected them, and Christians supplanted the Jews as the people of God. This theological reading of the outcome of Jacob's wrestling match with the angel points the way towards Christianity as the true path to redemption. Recent interpretations of the Brescia casket suggest other ways Jacob had associations within early Christianity. One scholar has argued that the intricately carved box reflected debates within Milanese church politics of the late 4th century, specifically the writings of Bishop Ambrose, a prominent church figure who sought to counter the Arian beliefs of the imperial court in Milan. For Ambrose, Jacob is the model of righteous orthodoxy. Ambrose likens him to a well of faith and devotion, and says for this reason he met Rachel at a well. In his sermon on Jacob, Ambrose holds up the patriarch as an example of perfected faith and virtue. He sees Jacob's ladder as a mystical way of righteousness, and I quote, "a path in the heavens for the saints leading from sky to earth." The encounter between Jacob and the angel he interprets as Jacob's struggle to become a better imitator of God. For another scholar, the main purpose of the casket and its combination of Hebrew biblical and New Testament imagery is to validate, through typology, the essential unity of the two parts of the Christian Bible. In this reading, the visions and dreams of Jacob are seen as prefigurations of Jesus' miracles, two of which, the healing of the man born blind and the raising of Lazarus, complement the scenes of Jacob on the right side of the casket. Reflected in all the interpretations of the Brescia casket is that by the time of its creation, when Christianity was just emerging into its era of recognition, Jacob had become an important figure in Christian theology. Within just a few centuries of the carving of the Brescia casket, the episode of Jacob wrestling with the angel had become the main focus in artistic representations of the story of Jacob. This can be observed in one of the most striking early Byzantine-era depictions of the narrative from the Vienna Genesis, an ambitiously and lavishly illuminated manuscript produced in the first half of the 6th century in a territory under Byzantine rule, and Syria here is a likely place of origin. Each of the 24 surviving folios of the manuscript is made of vellum that has been dyed a rich shade of purple, a similar shade of purple that was used to dye imperial cloth. The biblical text, which takes up about two-thirds of the upper portion of each folio, was written in silver letters, and these are the medieval antecedent of modern capital letters, and is derived from the Greek translation of the original Hebrew, though in an idiosyncratically abbreviated form. The combination of silver on purple, colors specifically associated with the Roman emperor, suggests that the manuscript was designed to convey an imperial character and that it was produced for an imperial Byzantine institution or patron. Among the best preserved illuminated biblical codices of the era, it would have been even more impressive in its original state when the manuscript is believed to have had four times the number of folios that it currently does. Like the other illustrations in the Vienna Genesis, the scene of Jacob wrestling with the angel is painted in tempera, gold, and silver, and takes up about one-third of the bottom of the folio. The episode is depicted along a ground plane that moves at first from left to right, and then curves back on itself, reversing the direction to move from right to left. Different parts of the story, corresponding to the distinct passages in the biblical text, are oriented sequentially along the curved ground plane to convey that they take place in advancing chronological order. Jacob, dressed in brown, is shown leading his wives, sons, and servants in the upper left part of the composition. He is represented four more times in the illumination. Each time he appears corresponds to a different moment in the story. On a bridge designed very much like a Roman-era aqueduct that leads across the river, and then in three closely aligned passages along the lower ground plane, which represent Jacob's solo encounter with the angel. He is shown standing alone, having reached the other side of the river, then wrestling with the angel, represented in a silver and blue cloak, and finally bowing to receive a blessing from the angel. Jacob's family contingent is again represented as a unit in the lower left corner of the composition, indicating their continuing journey after Jacob's encounter. It is striking to what degree the artist chose to focus on the encounter between Jacob and the angel. Jacob stands, after crossing the river, left alone. The subsequent passage, to the left, corresponds to the night-long wrestling match between Jacob and the angel. The position of the figure's legs, one bent, the other extended to the rear to brace and support their bodies, suggests that they are locked in unyielding, evenly matched struggle, echoing the words, "And he saw that he had not won out against him." Portions of the drapery and their cloaks seem to fly outward and upward, away from their bodies, evoking the physical exertion and strong movement of their bodies during the fight. The angel has its hand on or near Jacob's thigh, indicating the touch and wrenching of Jacob's hip socket. In the passage to the left, corresponding to the next part of the episode, Jacob bows to receive the angel's blessing. The lower portion of Jacob's right leg is oriented awkwardly inward towards his other leg. Could this be an indication of the injury sustained by Jacob, who, the biblical text tells us, was limping on his hip? In grouping the two pairs of figures of Jacob and the angel so tightly together, so close that the cloak and leg of the angel in one passage overlaps part of the figure of the angel in the subsequent passage, the artist sensitively suggests how closely these two actions follow each other in time, how they are understood thematically as two parts of a single nighttime sequence. The physical struggle between Jacob and the angel came increasingly to be used by artists as the primary focus of the story and of the Jacob narrative in general. In most subsequent medieval representations, the wrestling match was depicted not in two stages, but as one integrated image, the two figures locked in an unyielding and evenly matched physical struggle. Such images came to serve in an iconic way as a symbol for the entire episode leading up to and following Jacob's encounter with the angel. Images like these came to be represented in monasteries, a leading context for the production of religious art in the medieval period, in illuminated manuscripts, sculpture, and architecture. By the 9th and 10th centuries, the sculptural depictions of two figures locked in fierce struggle appear on a number of high crosses in Ireland, which were used as boundary markers of significant political territories or monastic lands, as well as reflections of religious narratives, encouraging viewers to reflect or meditate on biblical messages and themes. One of the features that distinguishes crosses erected in Ireland from earlier crosses found in England is the variety of sculpted biblical scenes that are integral to them, specifically scenes drawn from the Hebrew Bible. Among those scenes is that of two figures locked in a close embrace or doing battle. Two such representations appear in sculpted relief on high crosses at the monastic communities of Duro, which we see here, and Kells, two of the most important medieval abbeys in Ireland. Both of the stone reliefs, here is the one from Duro, contained within rectangular forms, represent two figures facing each other with their limbs clutching or intertwined, with their heads facing past each other, suggesting either an antagonistic struggle or an intimate embrace. Many art historians suggest the two figures represent Jacob and the angel locked in battle. The way the figures lean into each other, with their backs arched and the ways their overlapping legs seem to push against each other, would seem to suggest a struggle rather than an embrace, suggesting that they are early depictions of Jacob wrestling with the angel, captured in a single image. The fact that neither of the figures bears wings suggests to some that they represent a different biblical scene. These sculptures are demonstrations of the return to large-scale sculpture in the late medieval period, a theme we will discuss in one of the later episodes. In the late 11th century, the scene of Jacob wrestling with the angel was represented on a bronze door leading to the sanctuary in the Basilica of St. Michael the Archangel on Mount Gargano in Italy. The door, cast in 1076, shows the angel, here with wings spread into the upper and left corners of the frame, touching Jacob's leg near his thigh. The frescoed image of Jacob and the angel wrestling also appears as part of an ambitious decorative program executed around the middle of the 14th century for a Serbian Orthodox monastery situated among a group of monastic communities in the area of Kosovo. The figures are here silhouetted against a mountainous backdrop featuring sharply delineated outcroppings of rocks, echoing the setting of the monastery. By the time printing emerges in the 15th century, the single image of Jacob wrestling with the angel had become standard in different contexts, used to symbolize a struggle of epic proportions between two evenly matched but essentially incompatible realms. It is represented in a woodcut from the Gutenberg Bible, printed in the 1550s, which shows Jacob in updated contemporary clothing, including a short jacket with fur-lined collar and sleeves, an undershirt with fur-lined cuffs and boots, struggling with the angel. Part of Jacob's entourage of wives, sons, and servants is visible in the middle ground, while a town is shown in the background at right. The sun, partially visible rising in between two hills at left, indicates that the image is set towards the conclusion of their night-long struggle. The scene of Jacob wrestling with the angel continued to be adapted in similar ways into the Baroque era. Bartholomeus Breinberg, a Dutch landscape artist who split his career between Amsterdam and Rome, where he was one of the co-founders of the Roman Society of Dutch and Flemish Painters, depicted the subject at least twice. Following the trend of focusing on the scene of struggle between Jacob and the angel, Breinberg sets the figures in a deep landscape. In his earlier version, which we see here, a bright sky forms the backdrop for ancient Roman ruins, including a triumphal arch and broken columns. In this later version, the figures of Jacob and the angel are silhouetted against a murkily lit landscape, whose forms are roughly delineated by the first signs of daylight. Later in the 17th century, the French artist Claude Lorrain used the subject to explore the effects of dawn on a landscape, with the two protagonists set on a shelf-like opening of land in the left foreground. In the next centuries, the episode of Jacob wrestling with the angel came increasingly to be associated by artists with the challenges they faced in the very act of translating physical or visual representation into spiritual or conceptual ideas. In spite of the focus that medieval and later artists placed on the climactic moment of struggle between Jacob and the angel, there is nothing that quite prepares us for this depiction of the subject conceived by Rembrandt van Rijn during the late stage of his career. Painted around 1659, 10 years before the artist's death, his monumental canvas of Jacob wrestling with the angel, it measures about 4.5 feet high by about 4 feet wide, features the figures of Jacob dressed in red and the angel dressed in white, framed in a tight close-up, so tight that the lower part of Jacob's body is not even in view. Even more striking is the orientation of the figures towards the picture plane, with Jacob's back facing the viewer, his face turned to the right so that we, the viewer, can only make out his features in profile. The angel is positioned facing the viewer, with its body higher than Jacob's, suggesting that Jacob is raising the angel up above the ground through his firm, unyielding grip. Both of Jacob's arms and hands are hidden from view, presumably because they are clutching the angel from behind. The angel's hands are positioned on Jacob's body, its right hand on Jacob's upper back, just below his neck, and his left hand on Jacob's right hip. The angel's right leg is bent with its knee wedged up against Jacob's left hip on the edge of his lower back, and the angel's right foot and toes are extended out towards the picture plane, possibly resting or pushing up against a rock in the immediate foreground of the composition. Based on the overall position of the angel's limbs in relation to Jacob's body, one can perceive Rembrandt to be capturing the very moment when the angel, according to the biblical text, saw that he had not won out against him, and he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip socket was wrenched as he wrestled with him. Indeed, the apparent lightness with which the angel's left hand touches Jacob's hip, combined with the apparent absence of exertion on the angel's face, suggest the remarkable ease with which the angel injures Jacob, a supernatural ease that is indicated by the language of the original text. In his translation of Genesis, Robert Alter points out that the form of the Hebrew verb naga, found in verse 26, means to touch or even to barely touch, suggesting that Jacob's wrestling opponent maims Jacob with a magic touch or by, perhaps, inhumanly skillful pressure on a pressure point. As in his many other depictions of Hebrew biblical subjects, Rembrandt proves himself to be a profoundly careful reader and sensitive interpreter of text. But the most striking aspect of Rembrandt's depiction is evident when we look more closely at the right side of Jacob's face, the side that is visible to us, silhouetted against the angel's white garment. Jacob's eyes are fully or almost fully closed. His mouth is just slightly open, as if breathing gently, and his face, inclined slightly upward towards the angel's face, is in a state of relaxation. Hardly suggestive of wrestling. Jacob, in other words, is asleep. Indeed, looked at from this close-up point of view, Jacob's head seems to be cradled, resting in the crook of the angel's arm. This explains why the angel's right hand is positioned where it is on Jacob's back. This gesture allows the angel to support the weight of the head of Jacob as he sleeps. Is it not odd, you may ask, for someone like Jacob, who is said to be wrestling in the midst of an intense physical struggle, to fall asleep? Well, this depends on how one interprets Jacob's struggle and who one interprets Jacob's adversary in this struggle to be. As we've discussed, the Rambam, among a number of other commentators, read Jacob's encounter as reflecting an internal encounter, some sort of a psychic or prophetic dream. Does Rembrandt here intend to convey a Maimonidean take on the wrestling episode? In other words, does his painting mean to suggest that Jacob's struggle is manifested as a prophetic dream, a vision, that it takes place inside or is prompted by his psyche? Should we view the scene painted by Rembrandt as some sort of a dreamscape? That the figure with whom Jacob wrestles in Rembrandt's painting possesses wings, and what a prominent, richly, and beautiful textured pair of wings they are, would also seem to resonate with Rambam's view that the man, Ish, described in the biblical episode, should be understood to be an angel. One need not even assume that Rembrandt would have been directly familiar with Maimonides' interpretation to have characterized the episode in this way. It was common in Protestant theology to consider Jacob's antagonist as a divine agent. And like Maimonides, John Calvin, whose view held sway in the Netherlands, believed the event between Jacob and the angel was of a visionary character. He held that Jacob was wounded so that the content of the vision would leave a permanent visible mark on him. In some sense, Calvin's interpretation suggests a kind of Protestant compromise between the opposing views of Rambam and Ramban that we discussed earlier, allowing one to reconcile how an encounter that is defined in fundamentally ethereal terms can have a physical manifestation in the world on the body of Jacob. This also helps explain why the story of Jacob and the wrestling match came to occupy such a prominent place in the artistic imagination. Because it offered artists a means to represent the intersection of the celestial or metaphysical and the earthly or physical realms, which, in a nutshell, is what art, or at least great art, aims to do. As at least one rabbi has noted, Rembrandt's depiction also echoes the interpretation of the story put forward by the great commentator Rashi, who suggested that the term used in the biblical text to describe wrestling, v'ya'avek, is meant to be understood as a kind of embrace, that the state of intense, close struggle leads to the two figures becoming completely intertwined. One clasps the other and twines himself round him with his arms, each one fastening or entwining themselves onto or with the other. Following the implications of such an embrace, Rashi echoed the idea put forward by earlier rabbis that the figure who encounters Jacob is not an antagonist or divine agent in the traditional sense. Rather, it should be understood as Esau's guardian angel, or as a kind of alter ego and divine reflection of Jacob's being, that is, Jacob's other half. Rashi's line of interpretation suggests that Jacob's all-consuming struggle brings about a state of intimacy bordering on or manifested as love. This idea seems vividly reflected in Rembrandt's painting, and especially in the characterization of his angel, who looks down at Jacob not with animosity as towards a physical adversary or antagonist, but with tenderness as towards a loved one or cherished brother. Rembrandt's treatment of the story stands out in the Baroque era for how deliberately it renders the relationship between Jacob and the angel, and for how sensitively it channels the meanings embedded in biblical narrative into visual form. But it also points ahead to the ways the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel inspired artistic discovery and innovation at key points in the early modern era. It's a general truism that religious subjects, and especially biblical episodes, played a far less prominent role in the artistic canon in the modern period than they did in earlier centuries. Indeed, the great masters of modern art from the early 19th century are rarely associated with religious themes. From the Romantic era on, artists staked out ground and created repertoires of new subjects that, if not assertively profane, affirmed a generally more secular spirit. It is worthy of note, then, when this path towards secularism or presumed secularism takes detours towards traditional religious themes, especially when the artists who took these detours, if you'll allow me to further tax this metaphor, were not known for their religious fervor or for the religious spirit of their work. At two key points in the later 19th century, in the early 1860s and the late 1880s, paintings with Hebrew biblical subjects were used to make important statements about the goals of the artist and about the character of modern art in general. Both of these projects featured the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel, the content of which helped inspire to clarify and radically alter their approach to art. Eugène Delacroix, the great French Romantic painter, represented the story of Jacob wrestling the angel within the context of the last major project of his career, a series of three large-scale wall paintings for the Chapel of Holy Angels of Paris's Saint-Sulpice, a late Baroque Catholic church built over the course of the 17th and 18th centuries. Delacroix's paintings for the chapel were commissioned by the French state as part of a program to restore the interior decorations of the church after they had been damaged by fire and the upheavals of the French Revolution. The ambitious program took over 12 years to complete from 1849 to 1961 and is documented through entries in the artist's own journal, which Delacroix kept over the course of his career and which allows us to glean some of his artistic objectives and personal thoughts. They reveal that the commission was important for the artist not only on account of its setting, but as a demonstration of his beliefs and ideals about art. The scale of the paintings is monumental, with the scenes facing each other across the chapel, representing Jacob wrestling with the angel and Heliodorus driven from the temple, each measuring 23.5 feet high by 15.5 feet wide. The oval painting on the ceiling representing Saint Michael vanquishing Lucifer is not much smaller, measuring over 16 feet by 12.5 feet. The scene of Saint Michael was painted in oil on a canvas that was glued to the ceiling. The two works below, including the scene of Jacob, were applied directly onto the wall. Not only with paint, but with a special mixture of pigments, linseed oil, and a small amount of wax. Delacroix struck upon this combination, which he mixed together on the palette as he worked, in order to achieve particularly luminous color effects and surface qualities. He even had his assistants prepare the walls by coating them with lead carbonate and soaking them with boiling oil so as to lessen the damaging effects of humidity on the works over time. The artist's deliberateness and care around this commission also included tests of complementary color relationships and many preparatory pencil and oil sketches. Delacroix's three paintings are all based on biblical subjects, but of different textual origins. Jacob wrestling with the angel is the one subject from the Hebrew Bible. Heliodorus, driven from the temple, comes from the second book of Maccabees, a deuterocanonical book originally written in Greek that is an apocryphal summary of a five-volume work that has not been preserved, detailing events that formed part of the Hanukkah story. And Saint Michael vanquishing Lucifer is based on an episode in the Revelation of Saint John, the final book of the New Testament and the only apocalyptic book of the Christian Bible. The two scenes below are ostensibly of Jewish origins, while the scene above is Christian. All three scenes are narratively and thematically related, depicting a struggle between two main figures, one of whom emerges physically marked as a sign of defeat by the other. And all are visionary in character, representing the defeat of someone who wages battle or rises up against the authority of God or a divine being. As a tripartite program, the three subjects follow a chronological sequence, from the foundations of the Israelites in the age of the patriarchs, to the triumphs of the Jewish people in the Imperial Roman era, to the image of Christian salvation at the end of time, reflecting a continuity between the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament towards the ultimate goal of redemption. Delacroix's depiction of Jacob wrestling with the angel represents a kind of middle ground between the broad-viewed landscapes of the Baroque era and the close-up view of Jacob doing battle with the angel innovated by Rembrandt. Taking up most of the right half of the composition are a series of deeply toned, roughly textured trees, each featuring curling, gnarled branches with leaves ranging in color from brown and dark green to red and maple. The scene is set under an umbrella of dark foliage that follows the curving upper frame of the painting. A series of energetic preparatory sketches of oak trees from various vantage points, composed over at least several years, reflect the attention Delacroix paid to the setting for the scene. The dueling figures of Jacob and the angel take up a prominent part of the lower left quarter of the forest-like setting and are pushed up close to the picture plane. Viewed at an angle, Jacob from the back, the angel from the front, they are spotlit from the right side of the composition. Bright highlights help define Jacob's muscles and the figure's interlocked limbs, while deep, raking shadows are cast by their bodies to the left. Delacroix seems to have cast the entire scene, trees, ground, figures, angels' wings, drapery, and sky, in a mixture of darkness and early morning light. We are witnessing the figure's struggle as dawn is breaking. In the lower right corner of the painting is a caravan of figures and camels, while a pile of clothing and other items is painted in the immediate central foreground, a spear pointing up and to the left in the direction of Jacob and the angel. Delacroix's preparatory sketches reflect how much he focused on characterizing the physical interaction between Jacob and the angel. At least a dozen sketches that focus on the wrestling pair help the artist clarify the orientation of the figures and their relationship to each other. In this drawing from the Louvre Museum, executed at an early stage in the artist's work on the project, the figures are far apart, their arms holding each other at a distance, with the angel appearing to lunge aggressively for Jacob's left thigh. In the final composition, they have moved closer to each other, Jacob's left arm reaching around the back of the angel and his head inclining close to the angel's body, his hair perhaps even touching the angel's garment and skin. In general, the artist developed a calmer and less aggressive characterization of the struggle as he moved from his initial ideas through the working process. Delacroix found inspiration for his visual interpretation from contemporary late 19th century literature, which showed great interest in the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Among the sources he records in his journal is a poem by the author and statesman Alphonse de Lamartine, who was instrumental in the foundation of the French Second Republic. De Lamartine's poem, Jacob Wrestling with the Angel, includes the verse, "Suddenly one rushes the other, the threatening arms, their legs press, their knees entwined." Delacroix's studies and painting offer a kind of multi-stage translation of this image into visual form. Jacob wrestling with the angel was of particular significance for Delacroix, representing to some degree his conception of art and of the struggle of the artist. In the commentary he wrote on the painting in the invitation to view the newly finished chapel, Delacroix wrote of the battle between Jacob and the angel, "A stranger appears who stops Jacob in his tracks and engages him in a stubborn struggle, which only ends when Jacob, injured in the thigh by his adversary, finds himself reduced to helplessness. This struggle is considered by the Holy Scriptures an emblem of the trials which God sometimes sends to his chosen ones." At least a decade before this commission, the artist had already considered the subject of Jacob wrestling with the angel for another mural project. Separate, or in addition to the religious meaning that the Jacob scene had in the Catholic Church of Saint Sulpice, Delacroix clearly derived considerable personal meaning from the subject and from the other depictions in the chapel. As one bound up in a physical struggle to achieve a blessing from the angel and thus an expression of his immortality, Jacob came to represent for Delacroix the ultimate struggle for the artist, one who, in his case, uses his talents and the tools of his trade to create a pictorial record that will live on after the artist's death. Delacroix was concerned with the way his work would measure up against the great masters who preceded him, including in particular Raphael, Titian, and Rubens, whose art deeply influenced Delacroix's compositions. He was conscious that his paintings would serve to define his legacy in subsequent generations and even centuries. This is one of the reasons he is so concerned with and took great care in ensuring the permanence of his mural paintings. The story of Jacob and the angel expressed for Delacroix a deeply personal artistic struggle. Indeed, from the time of its unveiling, writers identified Delacroix with the figure of Jacob, echoing and amplifying the allegorical character of the Jacob scene within Delacroix's wall paintings. Many of the critics favorably compared Delacroix's achievements to earlier large-scale religious programs, including the Italians Giotto, Michelangelo, and Raphael. The most extensive and famous of these critical accounts was published in 1861, and shortly after Delacroix's death, in 1863, by Charles Baudelaire, who, in addition to praising the artist's epic drawing and splendid sense of supernatural color, singled him out as greatest religious painter of the 19th century, revealing his religious subjects as expressions of his artistic imagination. Baudelaire recognized in Delacroix's depiction of the struggle between Jacob and the angel a metaphor for the role of the artist and for the struggle of the artist in modern society. Baudelaire wrote of Jacob's struggle as that of the chosen one with the powers that surpass him, and of Jacob in the aftermath of the struggle, smitten in his physical person, Jacob, like all those who answer the call of the divine, has a curse upon his life and a blessing upon his mission. Thus, Jacob is taken by the modern writer and visual artist as partaking in a struggle that is made universally applicable to their own struggles to express broad themes in powerful ways. Following Baudelaire's lead, the struggle of Jacob and the angel was interpreted according to the romantic myth of the modern artist, who wrestles with his materials and with the insurmountable difficulties of his art to achieve something truly divine. The intense struggles experienced and described by Delacroix in his journal and correspondence over the course of the 12 years it took to complete the Saint-Sulpice murals echo and give vivid expression to this idea. In Jacob's struggle with the angel, Delacroix recognized a metaphor for his own artistic struggle, and by extension, from the blessing Jacob ultimately receives, the possibility of transformation and creative resolution. The subject of Jacob wrestling with the angel was of particular importance within late 19th century symbolism, a movement of writers and artists who rejected naturalism, which was considered superficial and mutable, in favor of representing absolute and constant truths through metaphoric language and imagery. In his Symbolist Manifesto of 1886, Jean Maurras used contemporary French poetry to demonstrate the character of the movement. He repudiated plain meanings, declamations, false sentimentality, and matter-of-fact description, so as to represent the ideal in perceptible form. For symbolist poets and artists, Jacob wrestling with the angel offered a perfect subject through which to express their vision. Most significant among the visual artists in this movement was Paul Gauguin, who used the story of Jacob and the angel at a key point in his career when he was looking to move away from Impressionist painting, which used first-hand observation of the natural world as its primary source of inspiration. Gauguin sought to dislodge the basic tools of the visual artist, and especially color, from their role as a means to represent the natural world, and to use them in the service of conveying abstract concepts and what the artist deemed to be higher truths. The dramatic shift in Gauguin's style and goals can be appreciated by comparing his garden in Vaugirard, a depiction of the painter's own family, which he painted in the early 1880s when Gauguin was still showing his works with the Impressionists in Paris, with the vision after the sermon, painted less than a decade later in 1888 when the artist was living in Pont-Aven, a small river port town in Brittany in northwestern France, where Gauguin and several other like-minded artists had formed a commune in order to generate a new style and approach to art. As is most of his earlier work, the garden is inspired primarily by first-hand observation of the visible world. The effects generated of light, color, space, and form seem to have been based on how Gauguin apprehended the scene before him at a specific time and place. Like the Impressionists, the artist at this stage in his career made his direct interaction with the natural world his key source of inspiration. Looking again at Gauguin's later work, we recognize that the source of his artistic inspiration has shifted away from the observed world towards something that is based on the world imagined by the artist. Subtitled Jacob Wrestling with the Angel, Gauguin's vision after the sermon is meant to represent not an actual landscape, event, or religious narrative. It captures a vision of Jacob wrestling with the angel, manifested in the imagination of a group of Breton women who are engaged in praying after having listened to a sermon on the very story they are envisioning. Thus, for Gauguin, the painting was a means to express the visionary quality of the story. He expressed these ideas in a letter to Vincent van Gogh, with whom he corresponded regularly. In it, Gauguin describes the qualities and meaning of the colors and his broader artistic goals. He writes, "Breton women pray, very intense black costumes, the very bright yellow-white caps. An apple tree crosses the canvas, dark purple, the foliage outlined in masses like emerald green clouds, with the green-yellow interstices of sunlight. The land, pure vermilion. At the church it goes down and becomes red-brown. The angel is dressed in violent ultramarine blue, and Jacob in bottle green. The angel's wings, pure chrome yellow. The angel's hair, chrome and orange flesh feet. I believe I have achieved a great rustic and superstitious simplicity in the figures. All very severe. The cow under the tree is very small compared to the truth and rears up. For me, in this painting, the landscape and the struggle only exist in the imagination of the people praying as a result of the sermon. This is why there is contrast between natural people and the struggle in its landscape, unnatural and disproportionate." The Breton women take up most of the bottom and left-hand side of the composition. Some of their faces are turned away from the viewer. Others, in the background, face the picture plane, but are dramatically simplified and abstracted. One of the women at the very left is shown in strict profile, her head slightly downcast, with eyes closed and hands clasped together, reflecting a state of prayer. The woman, immediately to her right, her face also visible in profile, though turned slightly into the picture space, seems to be directing her attention slightly upward, in the general direction of the figures of Jacob and the angel in the upper right corner of the composition. A tonsured priest, his face also downcast, his eyes slightly open, is the only figure among the group of Bretons who is delineated completely within the right side of the composition, near the figural group of Jacob and the angel. It is the priest's sermon, delivered at a local church one morning, that, in Gauguin's retelling of the conception of the painting, sparked the vision beheld by the women at his left. Many have recognized in the figure of the priest the features of the artist himself, suggesting an embedded self-portrait. If the priest's words invoked the image of Jacob wrestling with the angel within the imagination of the women, it is Gauguin's painting that has channeled the vision into visual form. Gauguin's radical simplification of form and unnatural use of color combine to convey a visionary experience. The artist separates the figures who belong to his contemporary living world from the figures of Jacob and the angel of the biblical world, with the trunk of the apple tree that diagonally divides the composition into two main areas. Forms within the painting, such as the bodies and bonnets of the women, the ground plane and tree, and the figures of Jacob and the angel, are all clearly delineated in blocks of relatively unmodulated tones. Meanwhile, Gauguin's colors are both highly unnatural and equated to the objects they represent. The trunk of the apple tree is dark purple. The land is pure vermilion, and the figures of Jacob and the angel are defined by the singular color cords of their garments, bottle green and violent ultramarine, respectively. Figure scale is independently manipulated by Gauguin to suggest a landscape and a realm that are dramatically removed, unmoored from the observed world. The reduced figures of Jacob and the angel, silhouetted against the vermilion of the land, are the most severely disproportionate and unnatural looking in the painting, the clearest reflection of the artist's goal to portray the struggle not as a narrative episode, but as a visionary image. This artistic statement seems to echo the idea put forward by the Rambam 700 years earlier, that is, that the encounter between Jacob and the angel takes place in an immaterial realm, projecting Jacob's prophetic vision. In Gauguin's interpretation, the landscape has been relocated from the edge of the Jordan Valley in the biblical era to the rural parts of Brittany in late 19th century France. The biblical vision that occurs within or is incited by Jacob's imagination is relocated to within that of the Breton women. The story of Jacob wrestling with the angel links the medieval Jewish philosopher with the avant-garde modernist French painter. The subject helped inspire Gauguin to break with artistic tradition and to develop a radical visual vocabulary geared to portray the intersection of the physical and immaterial worlds. Gauguin's contemporaries, who also identified with symbolist ideals, continued to make use of Jacob's struggle with the angel as a subject for their work. Gustave Moreau, an influential forerunner of the symbolist movement, depicted the subject at least twice, seeming to emphasize the inherent confrontation between two distinct and incompatible worlds that Jacob's struggle with the angel evokes. Moreau departs noticeably from the biblical narrative. The confrontation here seems less like a wrestling match between two evenly matched opponents, and more like an encounter between two fundamentally incompatible worlds, Jacob's decidedly muscular and earthbound, and the angel's fantastical and ethereal. As one critic has described, Moreau conjures a hallucinatory ambiance in which Jacob vigorously shadowboxes with thin air. The angel is separate and above the fray, clearly situating the wrestling match within Jacob's psyche. Odilon Redon, another symbolist French artist who worked primarily as a printmaker and draftsman, also depicted the subject on multiple occasions. In this painting from the first decade of the 20th century, Redon emphasizes the dreamlike character of the episode. Diminutively scaled within the very lower part of the picture space, the figures of Jacob and the angel are practically lost between two towering trees. Here shown amidst a fog of atmospheric color, ranging from yellow and pink to purple and brown. In another version of the subject from the same period, Redon's use of color and his brushwork is even more intense. Seeming to engulf the figures of Jacob and especially the angel to the point of near indistinguishability from the surrounding landscape. Like Gauguin and Moreau, Redon emphasizes the visionary character of the story. Like them, the episode helped free him from what he saw as the restraints and limitations of naturalism in favor of a language meant to evoke imagined things. In addition to the ways the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel invited stylistic innovation among modern artists, it also came to represent the act and ideal of creative transformation for the artist. As they broke away from traditional conceptions and practices of art, from using the natural world as their primary creative prompt, the biblical subject of Jacob's all-night struggle with the angel, through which Jacob broke away from his habitual mindset and fear-induced practices, became a powerful ideal and source of inspiration. Jacob's all-consuming struggle leading to his transformation and the declaration of his new identity was taken on as analogous by modern artists and writers to their own struggle for creative liberation. That the wrestling match took place between a human being and a figure understood to inhabit a divine realm, and that from early on the narrative episode was defined as essentially visionary in character, also helps explain why the story came to be associated with the artistic medium itself. As practitioners of a physically tangible and inherently visible medium that aims to express something beyond physical reality and of enduring meaning and resonant value, artists recognized in the story of Jacob and the angel a metaphor for the artistic enterprise. In the dramatic confrontation between Jacob and the angel, they recognized a broader encounter between the material and immaterial worlds, two worlds artists strive to bridge through their work. Perhaps one can identify in modern artists' renewed interest in the story their rising aspiration to make this theme an even more central one in their art. That they look to the book of Genesis as the scriptural source for their work reflects the inherent and enduring character of the Hebrew Bible, and also how modern artists saw ancient scriptural text as an effective means to spark radical change to the character of the practice of art. The nature of the Jacob story, the richness of its interpretive tradition, and the ways it prompted varying and often countering interpretations around the question of its visionary character, served as a rich foundation through which modern artists from Rembrandt to Delacroix and Gauguin formulated their own interpretations. The struggle of Jacob with the angel and the struggle of the artist with artistic tradition were thus very well suited to each other. One might even say perfectly matched. As we'll discover next time when we explore the image of Moses and the Ten Commandments, the Hebrew Bible also prompted artists to break new artistic grounds in how they tell complex stories and distill complex narratives into single and singularly famous images. Looking forward to seeing you then.